Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. I want to look at verses 9 through 13. Let's read them. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When I first started studying this, I was looking at, he came to Matthew. Came and found Matthew. He had to come that way. And Psalm 8 popped out at me. What is man that thou should visit him? You know, we're nothing. This was God the Son that came walking through and came to Matthew. It was one of his sheep that he had to find. Our God tells us in Isaiah, he says that I spoke it, and that I'll also make come to pass. I purposed it, and that I also will do. Everything that the Lord purposes, everything that he speaks, he will do it. Us men, we make plans. Those plans fall apart. You get like me, I'm starting to forget some of the plans that I've made. Our God doesn't forget. He made them, and he does them. He purposes them, and he does what he purposes. He purposed to save a people. He purposed to, before the foundation of the world, to save some sinners out of amongst this world of sinners. None of us deserve it. We're all saved by grace. You know, it said that Christ, he was made a little lower than the angels. I mean, man is lower than the angels. And our God decided to take on him a fleshly body and walk around this earth for 33 years and then lay it down that he might take it again for the salvation of his people. I know I'll say it several times, salvation is of the Lord. Nothing man can do. And here we see that he came to Matthew. Matthew, it tells us in this scripture, he was sitting at the receipt of customs. And in Luke, it says it was a publican sitting at the receipt of custom. Matthew was a tax collector. And I had never really thought about it, but Matthew wasn't the only tax collector there. There was a lot of publicans. These were Jews that were collecting taxes for the Romans, and the Jews hated them because not only did they collect the taxes, they took some for themselves too. But when he came to Matthew, which he had to pass this way, he was one of God's chosen, John 6, Verse 70, you don't have to turn with me. He told Matthew in this. Matthew is one of the 12. He said, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Matthew was one of the disciples. Matthew was one of the apostles. He'd seen our Lord ascend. And that's what we're studying in Acts. And we've just been going through that about Christ's ascension. Matthew was a part of that. Nothing he deserved, nothing he thought of himself any better for, other than that the Lord had saved him and chose him out from among everybody else. He was just a sinner saved by grace. Matthew even considered himself, when he was speaking, Mark, this is recorded in Mark 2 and Luke 5. And then shortly after that, they all three list the disciples. And Mark and Luke just call him Matthew, is one of the disciples. In chapter 10, Matthew named off the 12 apostles and called himself Matthew the publican. He didn't think too highly of himself. He was like the Apostle Paul when he said that I'm the chiefest of sinners. But at that point, when the Lord told him, the Lord came to him, found him, he told him to follow me. Matthew didn't have a choice in the matter. He had to follow the Lord. Our Lord said, my sheep know my voice and hear me and follow me. They have to follow him. That is, our Lord has done the work. He started it. He'll finish it. He's finished it. And he will save his people at his appointed time. If they're one of his sheep, this was Matthew's appointed time to be saved. He had to be saved. The Lord had to pass that way, had to save him. When he said, give this as a follow me, this wasn't an invitation. He didn't ask him to follow him if he wanted to. He chose him out from the middle of all those others to be his disciple, his apostle. And Matthew had no say in it. He had to follow him. And we see that Matthew had left it all. It's in one of the other passages, it says he left it all and followed him. And, you know, this was a man that had been taking all his money. He was well-to-do off. But men are dead. And God, our God tells us to seek him while he's near, call upon him. He tells us to believe him. We can't do any of that. In our flesh, we're dead. That we can't do anything for ourselves. We can't hear this word. We can't see this word. Me and the pastor was talking before service. Men sit and read this same scripture that we read. They come up with all kinds of wild ideas, make up all kinds of stuff, but it's because they're dead. A dead man can't do anything. He can't even get out of his own way. And we know that we're dead. It says in Ephesians 2:1 that, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We know that our Lord has to save us. He has to wake us, just like he did Lazarus. If he doesn't call us from the dead, we will not live. But thank goodness the Lord chose to save some. Thank him for having mercy on some. None deserve it. The wages of sin is death. Nobody deserves to be saved. And the only difference between us and the people down the road is that Christ is our only difference. He's the only difference between us. And then it says that after he told him to follow him, he said it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in his house. This scripture, Matthew wrote this story according to what God had taught him to write, showed him to write, and impressed upon him. But even this, he was humble. He didn't say that he was in his house. Luke tells us that Matthew gave this great feast. And at this point, I could only think of the woman at the well. After the Lord had revealed himself to her, She went back to town and said, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is this not the Christ? You know Matthew done that. He told all these buddies that were out there, hey, you need to come hear this. This man knows everything. He knows it all, you know. This is the Christ. He had to come. And then we see that Christ, and this is most humbling, that our God would humble himself into flesh and come and sit in the midst of sinners, publicans and sinners. That's so humbling. What mercy, what grace our Lord has for his people, that he would come and sit with them. It was the Pharisees out there that were the self-righteous, but they were living by the law. They were doing everything right. They weren't trying to get over on anybody in that sense like the publicans were. And yet, they couldn't have been further away from God. And our Christ told them, when he spake to them, he said, you'd believe not because you're of your father the devil. Let that not be said of his people. Boy. But he chooses some, and he reveals it to them, and makes them glad in it. And they follow him. We have no choice but to follow. And these, like I say, these Pharisees, when they saw it, you can imagine how they looked down on it. It's kind of like religion today tells us, you know, oh, don't go to the movie house. Don't go down to the restaurant because they serve alcohol. Don't go out there in the world. And we shouldn't be in some places. Well, that's a given. But our God came to save those people that were down in the gutters. But he eateth with sinners. That's what mercy, what grace. And he told us in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, and this is a faithful saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And everyone that the Lord saves can say the same thing with the Apostle Paul, of whom I am the chief. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. Everyone in here is a sinner. There's a lot of people that are sinners that don't know they're sinners. And that kind of leads into the next thing that he had to say. Is when Christ heard this, he said to the Pharisees, he said, they that be whole need not a physician. It's not our Lord, the great physician. We all have the sin of the disease of sin. We all need a Savior. We need a physician that can heal us from that. No earthly man can do that. This physician, he does a heart work. That's where our sin is at. The sin makes us do what our hearts desire, but it's not according to what God is or does. God is not sin. He can't sin. He hung on the cross and bore our sins, and he was made sin, it said, but he wasn't a sinner. He was not born of man. Anyone born of man has to be a sinner because our father was a sinner and their father's father before them and all the way back to Adam. Adam sinned and by one man sinner entered into the world. And it said by where grace abounded or where sin abounded, grace did much more. Our Lord Jesus Christ can save the most worthless person, sinner. And I know that because he saved me. I was like Matthew. I spent years not giving God a thought. Had I had knowledge, but didn't give God a thought. Out doing what I wanted to do. Doing what my heart desired. And then like the Apostle Paul, he stopped me in my tracks. Showed me, no, this is what you're supposed to do. This is, you need to follow me. And as one of his sheep, I heard his voice and I followed him. And I pray that he'll keep me following him, because if he doesn't keep me, I will leave. So prone to wander. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that we're all sinners. Our best, our righteousness is only as filthy rags. Romans 3:23 says we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This sin is such a disease. Christ is that physician. The woman that had the issue of blood, she had that issue of blood, I believe it was 12 years. No man could cure her. But she knew the Lord had shown her that all she needed to do was touch the hem of his garment and she would be healed. That's Christ's faith. Christ is the faithful one, but he gives people faith to believe that way. It said Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's amazing that our God would show that kind of mercy to sinners, sons of Jacob's. Jacob, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, but Jacob did nothing to deserve him love him. As far as speaking for men, we would have chosen Esau over Jacob. But the Lord does the choosing. The Lord chooses the one he wants. And I thought in reading this whole chapter, we'll look a little bit of it here too, spoke of him being the great physician. Well, then we go down to verse 18. And a certain ruler had a dead daughter. His daughter was dead. We that have children that the Lord hasn't revealed to, we can all relate to that. The children are dead. In sin, but the Lord went and raised her up and healed her. In verse 20, we're told about the woman with the issue of blood that I just talked about. And he told her after he healed her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that moment. When Christ saves his people, when he does that heart work, they're saved. They were saved from before the foundation of the world. Once he does the heart work, they see that they were saved before the foundation of the world. And will be for eternity as long as he keeps us. It's still his faithfulness. He's the one that's faithful. And then he came down in verse 27. Two blind men crying on him. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And he opened their eyes. In the same chapter that he said he was the great physician, he just performed three miracles that he told us individually about. But then he went on in verse 35, he said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We can have cancer. We can have heart problems. We can have any number of ailments in our body. But the one that we need healed from is sin. If we're healed from sin, when we die, we'll be made whole. Doesn't matter. You know, the man with the withered hand, he would have died with a withered hand and the Lord had saved him, he he would have been whole. He would have had, it would not have had a withered hand. In heaven, there will be no diseases. We will be praising our Lord for everything he's done for us. We're not going to be there looking for mama, not looking for grandma. We're going to be there worshiping our Lord, praising him all the day long because of what he's done for us. He came, he found us as his lost sheep. He said he'd leave the 99 to go find his sheep, find one sheep. That's great mercy that he would go to find a sinner and save him. And then in verse 13 he tells us, he said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Our Lord tells us, he told Moses, the Apostle Paul reiterated it in Romans 9. The Lord said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but on the Lord that doth the same." Our Lord gets all the glory in salvation. He heals the sinner. He gives them a new heart, but it's all his glory. Man has nothing to do with it. And that's why we can say, like in Ephesians 2, he said, "We're saved by grace, it's up through faith, and that's not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God. It's not according to our works. Our God does the saving. He does the keeping." And then says that he's not come to call the righteous. I'm talking about self-righteousness. That's why man can't save himself, is because of self-righteousness. He's trying to do something when there's nothing to be done. The work is already done. The Lord finished it. He said on the cross, "It is finished." And so he didn't come to call the righteous. He come to call but the sinners to repentance. A sinner that has been saved by grace will repent. They'll call on the Lord for mercy. They'll be like the publican, where the story of the publican and the Pharisee. The publican, he couldn't even come near. He stood afar off and just said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." If Christ saves us, if he reveals himself to us, we'll all cry, "Have mercy on me." That's all we'll be able to cry. There'll be nothing else. In that regards, that we can say or do, but "Have mercy on me." And I believe that never goes away. As Paul said, that I would do, I do not. And that I wouldn't do, that is exactly what I do. And I have to beg for mercy every day because of my sin. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that's all I have. So if you would stand with me and let's pray together.